Well, it is good to be here, and I want to thank your minister and the elders for the opportunity to come and to share a word of testimony and to tell you how the Lord saved me and how the Lord has helped me, and also to show you the deputation video. We're going to read just a couple of verses from John's Gospel chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3, and we'll read together from verse 16 just down to the end of verse 18. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 16 down to verse 18. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then there at the end of verse 18, we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Well, as you heard, my name is Noreen McAfee. I'm from Ballymoney, still staying in Ballymoney whenever I'm at home. No place like Ballymoney, best wee place in the world. I was born there, brought up there, and I suppose I thought I would always be there, but the Lord had other plans for me. But I was born into a good home, but not a Christian home. So at the time when I was born, my parents were not saved. They didn't know and love the Lord. But they did send all of us as children. I have an older brother, an older sister, and a younger brother. They did send all of us along to God's house week by week and to Sunday school. From ever I can remember, we were sent along to church. Sadly, the church we attended at that time didn't emphasize much on salvation. All right, there was much talk about holy living, which of course is important, and there was much reference to those things, but there wasn't much emphasis on salvation. And so as I grew up, I suppose I thought that I was all right, that I would get into heaven because I went to church or because I went to Sunday school, and that somehow would make me better than the people who didn't go and the people who didn't attend. But you know, that is not at all what the Word of God tells us. And we know that God's Word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, it was when I was a teenager that my family began to attend the Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymoney. Now, that came about actually through my father. My father was a mechanic. All right, that was his day job. It was also his hobby. And there was a member of the church in Ballymoney who used to work with my father. They would spend the evenings together. They would work on Saturdays together. They would footer at engines, as we would say. And that man witnessed to my father, and he invited my father to go to the church in Ballymoney. And my father was saved. And, you know, I could see a change in him, and I could see how the Lord had worked in him. And, of course, now that he had seen the light, and now that he had received God's salvation, he wanted all of us to hear the way of salvation, and he brought us along to the church in Ballymoney. So I was a teenager, and I just had enough time left for 1 year in Sunday school before I went into the Bible class. But I have to say, I had a Sunday school teacher who taught me faithfully the way of salvation. And I remember the program we were using at that time. There were the memory of verses, of course, that we were to learn, and the portions we were to memorize. There were the catechisms. And then there was always a series of lessons that we were to be taught. And for that particular year, it was all about sin. And I can still remember the lady, she's still there in Ballymoney. She always says, "Don't tell people I taught you, they'll think I'm really old." But she's not really old, but she taught me faithfully about sin and about the origin of sin and about the consequences of sin, about God's remedy for sin. And I remember listening and knowing that that was what I needed, and knowing that for sure this was the truth. The other thing I could see was the people there had something that I didn't have. You know, when I went to church and when I sat and when I walked out down the aisle and even out into the car park, I could see that there were folks there in that congregation who had the joy of the Lord in them, and they had life in them that I didn't have. And I knew that there was something here that I was missing, and the Lord was dealing with me. But you know, I wasn't ready to surrender. I wasn't ready to yield. I wasn't ready to confess my sin and to take the Lord as Saviour. I wanted to put it off. And you know, there are many people like that. Maybe even after we have heard the truth and we acknowledge that it is the truth and we know that it is what we need to do, sometimes maybe we're reluctant or we want to delay, we want to hesitate. And I was like that. I wanted to put it off. But the Lord was working. And I remember amongst my family and amongst my relations, there were a number of people who were taken out into eternity in a short space, in a number of months. I think we had 8 different bereavements connected to the family. And you know, it seemed that just week after week, we were standing at another graveside, we were burying somebody else. And of course, it challenged me all the more. And every time, all I could think was, if that was me, where would I be? And I knew very well where I would be, because I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew I had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, and I knew that I would be lost. And you know, there is nothing that speaks like death. These days, we've seen the national mourning, and we've seen so much about the passing of Her Majesty the Queen, and nothing really speaks to any of us like death. And you know, we should pray that that lesson would not be lost on the multitudes even. At this time, but I was really being challenged. Around that time, it was time for the Sunday school examinations. That was a new thing for me. The church we attended before, they never had such a thing as a Sunday school examination, but I heard this thing was coming up, and we were supposed to go, and we were supposed to answer to the minister himself, who was the Reverend Leslie Curran at that time. We would go and we would answer the catechisms and answer the questions that he put to us. And he asked, I remember, the various things we had learned and about those lessons about sin. And you know, at the end, he just said, have you experienced this personally? Have you experienced this personally? And you know, in all honesty, I had to say no. And you know, tonight I would ask you, have you experienced God's salvation personally? You're here, and maybe you know the way of salvation. Maybe you think you could even preach it. You know it so well. But have you experienced it personally? Because that is what we need. We need a personal, saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to say no, and I must confess, the Reverend Curran was very gracious, as he always was, and all he said was, not yet. Not yet. And you know, that summed me up perfectly. Not yet. I intended to receive it, but just not yet. And you know, I went out, and all I could think of were those two words, not yet, not yet, not yet. And I went home, and the Holy Spirit was really convicting me of my sin and convicting me of my reluctance to come to the Saviour. And I went to my bedroom and I read from John chapter 3, these verses that we read together. I was thinking when I turned it up of those words in John chapter 3, verse 16, which are so well known. But then I read on down to verse 18, where it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And you know, I thought, that's me. Condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I knew that if I went on refusing to believe, well, there I was condemned already. And so that night I turned from my sin and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Saviour. And I thank the Lord that he heard my cry and he saved me. I thank him for the peace that he gave me and for taking away my sin. And I praise his name for that. And I would just say tonight, if you're here and if you think you're good enough, remember the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by his mercy that we are saved. And if you think that you can put it off, then remember that his word tells us that we don't know what a day may bring forth, and that now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. Well, I was growing up, I was in high school. I thank God I had good friends in high school, Christian friends from the church in Ballymoney who were also there at Dalriada. We had opportunities to meet and to do Bible study and to pray together, and they encouraged me. But as I was getting near the end of school, I suppose I was thinking, well, what am I going to do now? And ever since I was a little girl, I had always wanted to teach. All right, even before I went to school, I wanted to teach. I can remember lining the dolls up on the bed and teaching them with the wee blackboard and the chalk and giving them books by the way that they were reading and all that. So I had always wanted to teach. But you know, I knew that now that I was saved, I needed to know what the Lord wanted me to do. And you know, that is so important for all of us who are Christians, for all of us who are saved, to know what God wants us to do. And so I was praying, and there were various opportunities, or there was various things that I could have done, and yet I felt really that the Lord wanted me to teach. And the Lord confirmed that through his word, especially through the book of Deuteronomy. There are many times in the book of Deuteronomy where it talks about teaching, but especially there in chapter 6, where it says, "These words that I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And so I felt the Lord wanted me to be a teacher. And then, of course, I was looking at now, how was I going to set about being a teacher? Was I going to go to university? Was I going to go to Stranmillis? Or what was it going to be? And, you know, there were people who were pushing me in a particular direction. But as I prayed about it, the Lord said, "This is not the way. Neither is this the city." And I believe that the Lord showed me very clearly that was not the way that I was to go. At the same time, the Lord was burdening me for Christian education. And I can remember the Reverend Timothy Nelson came to preach at our harvest services, and he spoke from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 5. Those words where the king appealed and said, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" And he appealed for young people who were ready to serve the Lord, and who were ready to give themselves to serving the Lord. There are many things that you could do with your life, and there are many opportunities that are open to all of us today, but you could not do anything better than serve the Lord. And I felt that the Lord was calling me to consecrate my service unto him, and that I wouldn't just be a teacher, but that I would teach in the Christian school there in Ballymoney. And actually, the Reverend Nelson mentioned the need for a teacher in the school at that time. And so I applied. I became a teacher in Ballymoney, and I thought, really, that was it. I had no ambitions of going any further than Ballymoney. I was living at home. I was in my home church. I was serving God in my home church, and I was very happy. I thought I'd be there till I was old and grey. But you know, the Lord had other plans. And after I'd been there for some years, the Lord began to burden me for the work of God in Kenya. And I remember Margaret Russell was doing deputation meetings, just as I'm doing. And at that time it was slides, you know. So I remember her showing a slide, and there was this little tin building, and there were little children sitting outside it. And she said how that these children also needed to hear the word of God. And you know, the Lord began to burden me. It seemed everywhere I went, I was hearing about Kenya, 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 Kenya. Every booklet or piece of literature from the church that I lifted, it was about Kenya. They were looking for a teacher for Kenya, or so on. And it seemed I just couldn't really get away from it. And so I began to pray that the Lord would show me his will. And the Lord, again, he was faithful, and he did. And he spoke again through many things, but especially through those words in Genesis chapter 12, where the call of God came to Abraham. And he said to Abraham that he was to get out of his own country and from his father's house. Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And that really was something that the Lord spoke to me through. I was living at home, as I said, and yet I was to get out of my father's house, and I was to go to the land that he would show me. You know, some people said, "You haven't even been to Kenya." And it was true. But I was absolutely sure that that was where the Lord wanted me to go, and it was a place that he would show me. And so I indicated how I felt the Lord was leading me. I remember feeling so inadequate. I talked to one of our ministers and I said, what would you do if you felt the Lord was calling you to do something and you thought it was impossible? And again, he was very wise. And he said, well, now, we'd have to say, is the Lord saying it? All right, is the Lord really telling me to do this? And then you would have to ask yourself, is this the right time? Because the time is always important. The timing is always important. Is it now that the Lord wants you to do this? And then he said, if you have to say yes, then he said, you have to say, is it really impossible? Because with God, all things are possible. And you know, maybe tonight there's somebody here and you feel the Lord is calling you, but you're thinking, calling somebody like me, it's impossible. That is exactly what I thought. How would the Lord ever want somebody like me to go to Kenya? I could think of spiritual giants that I knew even within Christian education, and I could think of a better job that all of them would do if the Lord would take some of them. But you know, the Lord wasn't calling them. The Lord was calling me. And tonight, maybe the Lord is calling somebody here. Maybe to work at home. Maybe to go to the Whitfield College. Maybe to be a preacher. Maybe to be a missionary. And you think it's impossible. But you know, with God, nothing is impossible. There was one lady I remember who said back whenever I first was going in to teach in the school, and she said, I hope you don't regret it. And she was, I have to say, she was a very mature Christian lady. She said, I hope you don't regret it. And you know, all these years later, I can honestly say I have never regretted it. The Lord has been faithful. I don't have time to tell you of all the many ways that the Lord has helped, all the many ways that the Lord has provided, all the many ways that the Lord has guided, all the ways that the Lord has helped. But I can say that I have never regretted coming to the Lord for salvation or giving my life to the Lord to serve him. And I just pray that the Lord would help me to serve him more and to serve him better. In my deputation meetings, I've been talking about that verse from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where we are commanded or we are pleaded with to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. And then it goes on to say that we will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And tonight I have to say God's will is good and it's acceptable and it is perfect. And I praise and thank him for being such a wonderful Saviour and such a wonderful Lord. Thank you for listening. We're going to watch the video. Yes.